Last Wednesday, 19 of our best soldiers were killed in a battle against Muslim rebels. That is a serious loss. These soldiers belong to the special forces, supposedly the most trained, the most battle-ready, and yet there was treachery in what happened. And it is a painful note to that incident, since there have been recent moves towards peace talks with the MILF, with no less than our president meeting with the MILF leaders in Japan. But while mournful, there is always a note of honor when a soldier dies in battle rather than in retirement. Those soldiers who died will be given their due honor. They will have their merited awards for being killed in action. And to their bereaved families, I'm sure it soothes the pain that their loved ones will be cited as heroes. So there is something glorious about their death. Now, not all of us will have a hero's death. Our death may be quiet, it may be tragic, it may just be natural, but for the Christian, the honor in death is not the event of dying itself, however it comes, but rather the honor of death to the Christian is the promise that every Christian is joined to Christ in his resurrection. And with the resurrection of Christ, the assurance is believers in Christ will themselves be granted their resurrection on the last day. Ito ang karangalan para sa kamatayan ng Kristiyano. Hindi mabuti ang kamatayan mismo. Ito ay bunga ng kasalanan. Subalit ang pangako sa mananampalataya dahil siya ay kalakip kay Kristo, ay ang katotohanan ng si Kristo ay nabuhay mula sa mga patay, yan ang katiyakan, yan ang batayan ng Kristiyano na maharap niya ang kamatayan, na may katiyakang siya'y bubuhayin na muli. And of course, that is the burden of the so-called resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul was provoked to write that chapter because of false teachings that were being entertained in Corinth, when some members began to question the genuineness of the resurrection of believers. They did not question the resurrection of Christ, but they questioned the need, the necessity for the resurrection of believers because of Greek philosophy that looked at the body as being evil in and of itself, and therefore they thought that there was no need to raise the body after it has died. And Apostle Paul would have none of that. To the Apostle Paul, the issue was nothing less than the gospel, because the gospel includes the resurrection of Christ. Therefore, salvation includes the resurrection of the body of believers. So what is at stake here is not just some side issue of Christian theology. What is at stake here is the gospel itself. And when the Christian has the assurance of the resurrection, it has a practical effect. The practical effect is seen in the words of the Apostle Paul, "I die daily." That means there is something practical for the Christian when he is able to say, "I die daily," in the sense of readiness anytime when the Lord should take him in whatever circumstances. There is something about that Christian that will not be that will not compromise in the face of temptation, in the face of sin, in the face of other things that he faces day to day in this world, when he is ready to die in the Lord. Kaya ang nakapaloob dito, hindi lamang doktrina, kundi yung pang-araw-araw nating buhay kung tayo ay may katiyakan ng pagkabuhay na muli. Now, last time, we began looking at Paul's explanation as to the nature of the resurrection body. So beginning verses 42 to 44, we began considering what kind of body is the resurrection body. And we looked last week on this description of the resurrection body as spiritual body. And I explained that to mean that the resurrection body is of the Holy Spirit, not of the fallen nature. Yan ang isang bagay tungkol sa binuhay na katawan sa pagdating ng pagkabuhay na muli. Ang kanyang katawan, ang katawan ng mananampalataya ay katawang galing sa Espiritu, kaya't wala ng kasalanan, wala na yung kalikasan ng isang nahulog sa kasalanan na kagaya ni Adan. Itutuloy natin yan. We will continue from where we left. And I would invite you now to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 49. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's read verses 45 to 49. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So after attributing the resurrection body to the Holy Spirit, which is what we addressed last week in verse 44, these verses now are giving us the pattern of the resurrection body. And Apostle Paul sees that pattern in Christ. And what Paul does is to return to the parallel of Adam and Christ once again. We already met that parallel back in verse 22. Now Paul brings back that parallel of Adam and Christ to explain the nature of the resurrection body. And what he is saying here basically is that in the incarnation, Christ partook of the Adamic nature. The body of Christ was that like of Adam. But now at his resurrection, he is now the heavenly man. And what happened to Christ is the same pattern that will happen to believers. From the nature of Adam's body, we will bear the nature of Christ's body, which is here described as that of the heavenly man. My message is this: the resurrection body of believers is patterned after Christ as heavenly man. Ang katawan ng nabinuhay na muli para sa mga mananampalataya ay ayon sa kay Kristo bilang taong makalangit. Nang si Kristo'y bumaba dito sa lupa, tinamo niya ang katawang kagaya ng kay Adan. Ngunit nung siya'y buhay na mula sa mga patay, ang kanyang katawan ay tinawag na ritong makalangit na tao. At ganito ang mangyayari sa mga mananampalataya. The resurrection body of believers is going to be patterned after Christ. Just as Christ now is the heavenly man, so believers will partake of that nature of the resurrection body. How it happened to Christ is the way it will happen to believers. And he uses this uniquely Christian way of looking at humanity from their two human representatives. I say this is unique to Christians. No other theology, no other concept looks at humanity from the perspective of these two representatives. Only Christians look at humanity from the perspective of these two representative men, Adam and Christ. The first Adam and the second Adam. And we have therefore from these two representatives the way to understand what happens in the progress of the body of believers from the time that they are mortal to the time that they are resurrected. It will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. As with Christ, so with believers. First, Christ became man of dust like Adam. But one day, Christ became heavenly man. And so with believers, we now bear the image of Adam, the man of dust. But one day we will bear the image, the body of the heavenly man. Now this calls us to reflect on the nature of Christ and how he excels the nature of the first Adam. And in two ways. First, as the man who is God's image. And secondly, as the Lord who is from heaven. These are the two things Paul uses to describe Christ and how he excels Adam. Ito yung dalawang paraan kung paanong pinapakita ni Pablo na nakahihigit si Kristo bilang ikalawang Adan doon sa naunang Adan. Una, bilang tao na tagapagdala ng imahin o wangis ng Diyos. At ikalawa, bilang Panginoon na nanggaling mula sa langit. So let us first look at Christ as the man who is God's image. What Paul does here is recall the creation of Adam. When God created Adam from the dust, what did God do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. Now basically, Paul quotes Genesis 2:7 here in our text. He became a living being. He became a living soul. He was given life. And we know from the story of creation that the chief distinction of man from the rest of creation is that only man was created in the image of God. It wasn't said of animals. It wasn't said of nature. In fact, it wasn't even said of angels. Only man was said to have been created by God in His image. That's what makes man unique of all the creatures of God. And that is how Adam was to represent God, the image of God. But we know too, from the story of the fall, Adam failed. He failed to live by that mandate of being the image of God. Because of sin, the image of God in Adam was vitiated, was marred. But what the first Adam failed to do, the second Adam now, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished perfectly. And the point here is that as Christ does, so Christians are the ones who reflect the image of God until the resurrection. Ang mga Kristiyano ngayon, katulad ni Kristo, ang nagdadala at nagpapakita ng wangis ng Diyos hanggang sa sila'y buhay na muli. Pinanibago yung ating panawagan. Yung panawagan kay Adan na maging imahe ng Diyos na kanyang pinalya ay ginawa ni Kristo ng buong sakdal. At ngayon ang mga Kristiyano bilang tagasunod ni Kristo ang siyang nagdadala ng wangis ng Diyos sa mundong ito. This was supposed to be the mandate of God for humanity at creation. Adam represented that mandate. This is what should set man apart from the rest of creation, the only creature created in God's image. But when Adam fell into sin, he dragged into the mud of sin that image. He failed. Now let me explain. It does not mean that sinful man is totally without the image of God. The image of God is still there, but in ruins. Now you may have visited some sites that are ruins, and yet even in ruins, they give you some idea of its glorious past. Yung mga building na ruin na, pero nagpapaalala pa rin kung anong kaganda nito nung nakalipas. Well, ganito ang tao. Sira, wasak ang imahe ng Diyos, ngunit kahit sa wasak niyang kalagayan, ipinapaalala pa rin yung dignidad ng nakalipas na kalagayan ng tao, maging ang dignidad niya hanggang ngayon. Kaya hindi natin sinasabing wala na ang imahe ng Diyos sa makasalanan, naroon pa rin. If you remember, James has given a strongly forbid Christians from cursing their fellow men, and the explanation he gave in James 3:9 is because man was created in the likeness of God. Kaya yung paggalang natin sa tao ay gayon na lamang, hindi dahil sa siya mismo ay kagalang-galang, hindi dahil sa bihis niya ay kagalang-galang, ang paggalang natin sa tao ay dinidikta ng ating paniniwala na siya ay nasa wangis ng Diyos. Kahit pa sabihin natin sira, wasak ang wangis ng Diyos sa isang makasalanan, naroon yun. Kaya't iginagalang natin siya hindi dahil sa kanyang antas sa lipunan, ang paggalang natin sa tao ay dahil sa siya'y nilikha sa wangis ng Diyos. Naniniwala tayo doon. We treat our fellow men with respect because of that dignity born in the image of God. This is the reason why we reject the environmentalist philosophy that man is one with nature. No, man is not just one with nature. Man is not on the level of nature. Man is above nature in the image of God. Nature was not created in God's image, only man. That is the reason we reject also the evolutionist idea that man is the highest form of animal. No, man is not even one only with animals. Even if you make him the highest, that is not true. Man is above animals. The dignity of man lies in his role as carrier of the image of God. He is God's mirror to reflect God. Ang tao ay salamin para ihayag ang Diyos. But you see, because of Adam's sin, And with Adam, we all sinned. What happened to the mirror? A broken mirror. And try to look at a broken mirror. Or sometimes you have in entertainment places, fun mirrors intended to show you in a caricature. Well, that's what man has become. Still a mirror, but broken, or even a distorted mirror reflecting a distorted image. That is what man has become because of Adam. Sinful man, though a carrier of God's image, yet lives in many ways like animals. He lives for his appetites. He lives for his pleasures. He lives for his lusts. And sometimes even worse than animals. Did you know that man is the only species known to practice thrill killing? Animals kill their own for survival. Some men kill for thrill. And that makes them worse than animals. And this is the point of describing Adam as dust. In the highest level of creation, man was first dust, but God breathed into that dust the breath of life. And what did he become? He became a living soul. But by sin, Adam chose dust more than soul. In contrast with Adam, Christ is here described as life-giving spirit. And this proves his superiority. Pinapakita rito yung kahigitan ni Jesus kay Adan. Si Adan ay binigyang buhay, si Kristo ay espiritong nagbibigay buhay. Adam was given life, Christ is a life-giving spirit. And that is why every Christian in Christ has a life that is different from that merely derived from Adam. This is an important point. In fact, in Paul's letters, he would often refer to Christ as the image of God. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, concerning the gospel, he refers to the glory of Christ, which is the image of God. In other words, we know God through the perfected mirror of Christ. Now, Christians have that role now, to reflect God, not perfectly as Christ does, but nonetheless, consistently, clearly. We sometimes have blurred computer images, yung mga images sa graphics na natatakpan ng maraming squares, lumalabo. Ang tawag doon ay pixelated. Some Christians are more pixels than pictures. Blurred. And we should correct that. If we take this mandate of who Christ was as the image of God, and now we become like Christ, the image of God, the challenge to us brethren is define your life as a Christian man, but by what you make known of God as His image. Bigyang katuturan mo yung buhay bilang Kristiyano sa ipinapakita mo kung ano ang Diyos sa iyong buhay. Where Adam failed, Christ restored the mission of humanity to be the image of God. And this is the mission Christians are pursuing wherever they are. One day we will do most perfectly when we are glorified physically at the resurrection. But even now, it must be our pursuit to be a clear mirror of what God is to our fellow men. Dapat maging malinaw tayong salamin kung ano ang Diyos. Christ is the image of God perfectly. Everything in Christ perfectly mirrors what God is like. Christians must be the image of God, though not perfectly, yet clearly and consistently. Ask yourself, what will people who observe you know of God through what you mirror of Him? Will they know that God is good and compassionate because you mirror goodness and compassion? Will they know that God is holy and just because you mirror holiness and justice? Will they know that God is gentle because you mirror gentleness? Or are we more of the first Adam than the last Adam? We now share the life of Christ that He has given as life-giving spirit, and it must be our concern. What am I depicting of God in the way I work, in the way I relate, in the way I do my duties, in the way I worship, even in the way I will die? Jonathan Edwards, wrote of David Brainerd, who spent the last days of his life in his home, and on the eve of his death, Brainerd died October 9, 1747. On October 8, Edwards had his last conversation with Brainerd, and this is what Edwards recorded of that conversation. He said, "He told me," that is, Brainerd told Edwards, "it was impossible for any to conceive of the distress he felt in his breast. He manifested much concern lest he should dishonor God by impatience under his extreme agony." Coming close to his death, Brainerd's consciousness was on how he would reflect God. He was worried that he would dishonor God by much complaining about his agony. What a godly man. And the challenge is to us to reflect God similarly. Perhaps we're not yet close to death. Perhaps in your work, what are you making known of God? This was what Christ became, the image of God, and this is what we are. The second thing in which Christ is said to have excelled Adam is as the Lord who is from heaven. If you're using ESV, you may not have the translation, "The second man is the Lord from heaven." But many manuscripts of the Greek have the words, "The second man is the Lord from heaven." And I want to follow this reading. This is to contrast with Adam, who is from the earth and of the dust, whereas the second man, the second Adam, is from heaven. As I've said, these two Adams represent humanity. The second Adam, however, is not just man. Paul made it very clear. The second Adam is not just created man like the first Adam. The second Adam was the Lord from heaven. What does that remind us of? It reminds us that salvation, from its beginning to the final resurrection, is a heavenly intervention in Christ. Pinapaalala nito na ang kaligtasan mula sa umpisa hanggang sa katapusan na pagkabuhay na muli ay gawaing mula sa langit sa pamamagitan ni Kristo. It took the Lord from heaven. Whereas creation, the creation of Adam, happened on earth. But from the time that he fell and salvation began its motion, it has been from heaven. And it took the Lord from heaven to complete salvation, which will find its consummation in the resurrection. As man, Jesus did all that the first Adam failed to do. And this should expose the falsehood of any attempt to reach God by one's own earthly endeavors. Kung inaakala mo na makararating ka sa Diyos sa mga ginagawa mo dito sa mundo, hindi mo nakikita ang plano ng Diyos, ang kaligtasan ay manggagaling sa langit. Ang kaligtasan ay mag-uumpisa sa langit, bababa dito sa lupa at bumaba ito sa katauhan ni Kristo. At itong isang bagay na pinapaalala na ang ikalawang Adan ay hindi lang tagalupa, ang ikalawang Adan na siyang magliligtas ay ang Panginoon mismong galing sa langit. Ang kaligtasan ay nanggaling sa langit. Huwag kang umasa sa mga magagawa mo dito sa mundo. Ang asahan mo at pagtiwalaan ay ang ginawa na ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ni Kristong mula sa langit, bumaba sa lupa, namuhay ng sakdal, ngunit namatay at tinanggap ang parusa ng Diyos. Yan lamang ang kaligtasan. If you rely on anything of the earth for your salvation, you're lost. Salvation is only by the Lord from heaven. The movement is not from earth to heaven, but just the opposite, from heaven down to earth by the grace of God. Kaya isang bagay na pinapaalala nito, huwag tayong umasa sa mga posisyon ng lipunan. Ang mga yan ay pangmundo lamang. Libya's Muammar Gaddafi once taunted his enemies as rats. In the end, he was the one fleeing like a rat. He was caught in a drainage pipe. And many of us perhaps have seen those graphic images of a bloodied Gaddafi while his own citizens were assaulting him. A degrading way to die for a man who was once absolute dictator. But it reminds us how tenuous earthly power is. And I ask you never to bet your life on anything that is merely of the earth. Do not sell your soul for earthly interest, for earthly income, for earthly positions. And this is the reminder that we belong to the Lord who is from heaven. The challenge to us is have a heavenly character in this position, even in your present earthly life. And by a heavenly disposition, I do not mean its distortion of being unmindful of earthly vocation, but just as Christ, the Lord from heaven, came down to earth, so bring heaven to your earthly life. This is what the Bible tells us, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Be a man in your home or school or work who is mindful that Christ now sits on heaven's throne. Be someone whose work is not merely an investment for an earthly future, but a heavenly one. Bear your earthly sufferings even as someone who can take them in the light of heavenly glory. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17. This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. In every circumstance of life, Apostle Paul brings heavenly issues. That's why it enabled him to bear suffering. It enabled him to be effective in ministry. He had a heavenly perspective. He had a heavenly disposition because he belonged to the Lord from heaven. And I urge you to be likewise. Worship God by lifting yourself up from your earthly occupations to concentrate on what heaven is like. Converse with your fellow believers with a language that can be described as heavenly. One such man, whose contemporaries often called him heavenly, was Richard Baxter. The Puritan was often called by his contemporaries the heavenly Baxter. One reason was because of his book, The Saint's Everlasting Rest, the most comprehensive Puritan book on heaven. But not only that, but because Richard Baxter, whenever you are with him, reminded you of a heavenly perspective. And brethren, the hope of the resurrection is a reminder that this earth is not all there is for us. Are you being called to heavenly realities because you are too much earthly bound? Is there something that prevents your heavenly communion because of too much earthly concern. Challenge yourself today. You belong not just to the Adam of the earth, the man of dust. You now belong to the Lord from heaven. Let your life be not earthly bound. Let your life be heavenly. And this is the point of our last hymn, as it encourages self-examination. We have not known thee as we ought, nor learned thy wisdom, grace, and power. The things of earth have filled our thought, and trifles of the passing are. May our prayer be, Lord, give us light, thy truth to see, and make us wise in knowing thee. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at Ama, muli mong panariwain sa amin ang pag-asa namin sa pagdating ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. Kami ay bubuhayin mula sa mga patay, at sa pamamagitan ang nangyari kay Kristo ay ito rin ang magiging modelo para sa amin kung paanong si Jesus ay nagtamo ng katawang katulad ng kay Adan. Ngunit sa kanyang pagkabuhay na muli, siya ay taong makalangit. Ay gayon ang mangyayari din sa amin. And let that hope be the hope that animates our life now and our hope for the future, that we are to be like the Lord Jesus. And like the Lord Jesus, He is the man who bears the image of God where Adam failed. And we Christians are now called upon to follow that mandate of reflecting the image of God. We cannot do it on this side of heaven perfectly, but nonetheless, the call is to do so clearly and consistently. May we ever be mindful in whatever circumstances we are, whether at work, in school, in relations, that we are making known something of our God. May we ask ourselves what it is we are making known of God through our words, attitudes, and actions. And may we be concerned that we make known the God who is holy, just, good, gentle through our own graces. We also pray that we may be those who really belong not just to the man of dust in Adam, but even now we belong to the Lord from heaven. This is a reminder that salvation from beginning to its end in the resurrection is a work from heaven, the initiative of heaven, and the motion is from heaven coming down to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus. Address those who still cling to salvation through their earthly righteousness and earthly rituals and religions. There is no hope in anything that is earthly, for salvation is through the Lord who is from heaven. May you call them to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But it also reminds us how fleeting and how ephemeral everything that is earthly, whether that's position, ambition, wealth, income, everything is temporary. And if in any way we are being restrained from our heavenly calling because of anything earthly, help us, Lord, to examine ourselves. May we examine ourselves if the words of the song that we just sang may be true of us. The things of earth have filled our thought, and trifles of the passing are. That we may thy presence we have coldly sought, and feebly longed thy face to see. Instead, Father, we pray that our prayers would be, Lord, give the zeal and give the might for thee to toil, for thee to fight. Lord, may we day by day prepare to see thy face and serve thee there. Do remind us that we are heavenly people here on earth, and we are to bring heaven to our earthly life even now. And may you remind us powerfully through the word this afternoon. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.